irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, May 5th. What's May 5th?
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo. Thank you very much. It's yesterday was May the 4th be with you. I love that name.
Do you?
Yes. I thought it was clever, don't you?
I do. You just weren't. You didn't seem that into it yesterday, though.
No, I did. I said something about... No, I said...
You didn't understand people that love Star Wars.
No. But I meant the name of it. When they called it May the 4th be with you.
Because it's clever.
Yeah, yes. It's very clever. I would have never thought about that. May 4th. Okay.
Star Wars Day.
Yeah.
Today's Cinco de Mayo. It's a week full of holidays.
Yes. And I'm sure you're celebrating, right?
Cinco de Mayo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's an obligation.
I guess for two drunk girls,
right.
It is. To be pre-qualified and eligible to run that show.
Yeah. We have to drink at every holiday. Right. That, you know.
Yeah. Live up to your reputation.
It's hard. It really is. It's tiring.
Do you have margaritas and stuff on Cinco de Mayo?
I probably won't.
No?
No.
Why? You don't like them?
No. I don't like tequila.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Tequila.
Yeah. I know.
Unless somebody wants to volunteer and hold my hair at the end of the night, I'm just definitely should stay away from tequila.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold your hair? What does that mean?
I'm going to throw up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see. I didn't realize what you meant.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'm slow this morning. I did go to sleep at 4:30. I couldn't even believe it.
Why?
I'm like, I don't know, Jen. I don't know, man. I just, you know, the time just flies and I stay up. But... Yeah, so, but it's okay. I'm catching up with you this morning.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, I had to totally wake up with the, walk up the stairs this morning again for the second day in a row, right? Did you have to take the stairs?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, because they're fixing the elevator or something. I thought it was fixed already, but.
Right, last week.
Right.
It was supposed to be fixed. And yesterday we both heard the noise.
But yesterday they fixed it. We had to come up the stairs. No, wasn't that yesterday?
No, we both took the elevator. You got out and said how scary that was. that was yesterday morning. It was like rumbling.
No, but yesterday it didn't make the noises anymore.
It did. You were very worried about it.
Well, but I was here at night.
Oh, in the morning you were worried.
So, but are you saying that Friday we came up the stairs?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Well, so much for my memory.
That's okay. I got you.
Yeah.
I'll remember forever.
Anyway, you got my back, right?
Yeah.
In a few minutes, we're going to get to our guest this morning. We have a special guest and also a call-in that's related. So that's going to be cool. Let's see, a few things that I wanted to bring up. Oh, well, we started... I don't know if we talked about the Texas attack...
We did not.
No, we didn't talk about that. And I guess now ISIS is saying they're responsible, although they're saying there's no proof of it. So we don't know. They might as well just make it up or something, you know. But I don't think it's a stretch.
No.
It's exactly what we've been talking about.
Right.
You know, this happening here. So, yeah, I don't want to get too much into it because we've already talked about it so many times. But it's a problem. It's a worry. Did you know that, did you hear that Chris Brown has gotten into trouble again?
I did not.
For an alleged assault during a basketball game. Yeah. I guess he got in a fight with this guy playing at the Palms Casino, which is in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess he got into an argument or something, and then he punched this guy, and then Chris's friend came and punched the guy also. So, you know... But, I mean, you know, that's the thing, is that people can't help themselves.
I would say he should probably go to anger management classes or something at this point.
I think they already sent him to those, didn't they?
I don't know. He probably has so much money that any of these altercations just cost him whatever they cost, and then he moves on to the next altercation. I don't know.
But they've got to show us that, you know, these people, just because they're celebrities doesn't mean that they can get away with this stuff.
I don't think he's going to get away with it. I think it's just in the news because it's one more time he does something.
Right, yeah. Well, we'll see. I don't know how much trouble he's going to get into, but I bet you he's under probation or something, wouldn't you say? Or do you think he's paid his dues already?
Oh, I have no idea. I cannot speak fairly on this because I'm not educated on Chris Brown.
Right. Like,
Brown's
we don't
affairs.
Really care about Chris Brown. Okay. So the heck with that. So are you getting ready for your trip?
I am.
You're leaving on Thursday, right?
Wednesday night on
the red Wednesday eye. Night. Yeah. Okay, cool. So you'll already have the whole day Thursday there.
Yes. I get in at like 5 a.m. on Thursday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That'll be nice. So you already made plans for everything. Your mom's already got your itinerary planned, like you said.
Yep.
And you know what you're going to do. And there's not a pool option on the list.
No,
right?
Now we've worked
you've added
pool,
the pool
time into the schedule, the tight
Good.
Schedule she has me on.
Okay. So what was that at the expense of? Did you have to give up something?
I have no. Probably shopping for a little bit. I mean, I don't need to shop for 8 hours. So,
do you guys go to the beach also?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Oh, wow. You don't like it there?
No, I just don't need to because we live on the water and there's a pool.
Mm.
So
you don't have to go to...
No. I'm not that into sand.
South Beach and stuff.
No.
No, not into sand.
No.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's fine if that's your option, but the building has a pool and it's right on the water, so.
Yeah, okay.
That's so enough water for me.
Yeah, you don't have to go far.
No, and we'll probably like eat on the water most of the days, so I'll have my fair share of water.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You guys going to have like what, seafood and stuff?
Lots of seafood.
Yeah?
Can't wait.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. I love seafood, but I hear that... Yeah, places where people live on the water and stuff, there's a lot of seafood all the time. You know?
Yeah.
A lot of seafood restaurants and things like that. So that would be cool. Are you going to... So you have family there too, right, that you're going to visit? Do you have other than your immediate family there?
Yep. I have uncles, cousins, godparents.
Oh, okay. Cool. So you'll probably get to be with family and stuff.
I have a busy week ahead of me.
Yeah. You're looking forward to it, though,
yes,
right?
It's just... It's a tight schedule, so it makes it easy, though, for packing purposes, because she told me exactly what I'm doing every day.
Yeah.
So I'll be ready.
That's cool. Now, I just remembered that, and I mean, this is not a secret because she posted it on Facebook, but she just got engaged?
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations, Jan.
Yep. Congrats, Jan.
I'm really happy for her.
Thanks.
That's cool. How long has she been with a man?
I think... 2 years?
2 years.
Or longer?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I can't keep track.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad for her.
Me too.
I'm sure, you know, once you're with someone for a while, you want a commitment.
Right. You know? I don't know that they're ever going to get married, but this is their commitment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think that's a trend, actually, for people of their age, is to, like, not get married again, but just to get engaged to show, like, that next level.
I see.
It's because they're too old to be like, that's my boyfriend, that's my girlfriend. It sounds so juvenile. They're in their 60s, so it's like, okay, I guess that's her fiance. I don't know. That also sounds kind of silly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think we asked her where they met. I don't remember, but.
They've known each other a long time.
A long time?
Before they
started going out?
Like 20 years.
Oh.
I mean, they weren't friends, but they knew who each other was, and they had met through other friends.
I see. And then how does it happen that later in life you, like, connect and stuff? Interesting, huh? Were they hanging out the same circles all the time?
Or? No. So my parents were and still are friends with this couple who's also friends with him and was his former wife. Mm-hmm. And so when he became single again and my mom was single, they thought, oh, let's, like, set them up. It happened to be around the same time, so.
How cute that it worked out.
Yep. It did.
Nice. Nice. All right. Well, I guess that's it. I mean, there was some something I wanted to bring up, but it's not that important, actually. So somebody's posting on our LA Talk Radio page, and I totally banned their ass because they keep on doing this, like advertising houses and stuff. I mean, what is this, you know? So, you know, they see that somebody likes it, and then they go back and do it again after I delete it. So I banned them in the hell with that, you know. I don't need to deal with this on Facebook. Yeah. Now, on Twitter, you can block people too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But so you block them from seeing your stuff, right? That's what it is.
And contacting you.
Oh, they can't contact you either.
Right.
You probably don't exist as far as they're concerned, right? Yes. They don't even see you.
I mean, but also on Twitter, it's so easy to make another account.
Yeah, I know. And on Facebook, it's the same thing. If you block someone, you don't even know they exist anymore.
Right.
They don't show anything of theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to our guest now, who's sitting here patiently, and I'm eager to talk to him. We have Taryn Noah Smith. Welcome to the show, Taryn.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, awesome. And thank you for coming in. I know you were out of town, right?
I've been going back and forth between here and San Francisco a lot. I live in both places. So.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. You live in San Francisco too?
Yes.
How long have you lived there?
I was born and raised there, actually, just across the Golden Gate Bridge in Marin County.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of gone full circle. I was raised on a boat in Sausalito, and recently I've have bought my own boat and moved back.
Really? So what's it like to be raised on a boat? I mean, is that the only home you had?
Yeah, it was like a 46-foot powerboat. That one was on a dock, so, you know, you just kind of had a...
Right.
It's easy to get on and off. But one thing that affected me, I walked a little late compared to most babies, but I have really good balance, and I've never been seasick.
Good. Good for you.
You're learning to walk on a floor that's moving underneath you a little bit.
Yeah, so. You get conditioned to it. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's quite an experience, though, right? I mean, you probably become attached to the water and... boating. And
it kind of runs deep in my family, though. When my parents met, my dad was building a boat, and my mom co-owned an even bigger boat. So then she quickly made him captain of her boat, and they sailed to Hawaii in the 70s from here. From here.
How long does that take on a boat like that?
Well, they were in a rather slow, heavy-built wood boat, so it took them 24 days and 25 back.
Wow. You have to really like the person you're with to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's actually two other people, and one of them ended up being a problem, unfortunately. You know, they say heaven and hell is other people, and it's especially on a boat. In the
yeah, if you're if you're stuck with it for 25 days, my God.
I got to do it in 2000 when I was 16 as part of a crew of six, and we were in a little bit bigger and much faster boat, so it took us 12 days. But
yeah,
I didn't really know anybody on the thing. It was sort of I just got added to the crew at the end. So while it was nice, my favorite time was at night. We all would take a watch, you know, like 2 hours since we had a crew of six. And that means that everyone else is asleep, and it's just you out in the cockpit, you know, keeping an eye on things. The boat is pretty much just sailing itself. It's got an autopilot. You don't really have to do anything and just be awake and be out there. And it's just amazing. Just, you know, it's just you, the ocean, and the stars, and that's it. And it was a magical experience.
Yeah, a memorable experience for sure. So now, for those of you who don't know you or haven't heard of you, you were on Home Improvement, right? What years were those that you were on there?
From the whole run, which was from 1991 to 1999.
So 8 years. Yes. And you were there from the beginning?
Yes.
Very impressive. So I was telling Jen, I've never watched the show, so I didn't know you, so I apologize. But obviously the show was very popular at the time, and you were a child actor. What did you play? Obviously one of the kids.
Yeah, the youngest son. So
the youngest son of Tim Allen?
Yes, that's
right. Okay, and so that's cool. Now, were you already an actor before that?
Yeah, I actually started as a baby. I have an older sister, who 7 years older, who had started before me, just doing kind of casual stuff up in... We lived in San Francisco, so there isn't very much compared to L.A. or New York. You know, occasional print job or a commercial here and there. And so when I was born, my mom was taking me to the auditions for my sister, and they ended up asking at one point, like, do you want him to try out? Because we have a thing for baby. And she didn't even realize it. Of course, yeah. I mean, they do have babies at work, but it's rare. Yeah. So, but because I had a sister already in the business with an agent, the same agency just signed me up. And, yeah, I you know, from about age 0 to 6, just did commercials and a few, you know, magazines and print work. And then when after doing a couple of commercials that got me my SAG card, my, you know, my union, my parents, we came down here and just we didn't even realize that there's a season, they call it pilot season, and it's when they start up new TV shows, especially back then when there was more of a regular schedule of shows. So they would all start in around January, and we didn't even realize it. Well, that's when the pilot season starts. We didn't realize that that's when it was. We came down here, and the third audition I went on was Home Improvement in L.A. So
the third audition?
Yeah. I mean, I've been auditioning in San Francisco for all my life, but...
But in L.A. and being young and everything.
Yeah, it was very lucky. It was just, you know, one of those things. You just happen to be in the right place at the right time.
That's true. But you also have to have what it takes, obviously, you know. They're not just going to hire just anyone. You know, they have to see that you have a potential talent and all that.
One of the things they really look for in child actors is... Are they able to take direction? Because, you know, it's very easy for a parent to rehearse with a child, you know, a scene a certain way, and they can get that down, they do it perfectly. But then if the director wants to say, well, hey, can you try it like this or just do something like that? And that's one of the things they really want to see is if, you know, the child can
follow
adapt and improvise, yeah.
And listen and actually put it into action.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. So you spent there 8 years. I mean, did you have time to work on anything else while you were doing that, or that's a pretty grueling schedule, right? For
we would actually do. It's only about half a year because we did 25 episodes,
okay.
And we do an episode a week. But they spread it out over 3 seasons, as in like from about July to April is when we would be filming. And they spread it out, like we would do 2 or 3 weeks on and then have a week break. And that way the writers are able to kind of catch up and you know, be ready when we are ready to shoot the next thing. So and then we would have our kind of an early summer off from April to July.
So would you work during that time or you just rested?
Sometimes. Huh? I didn't really do much. You know, some of the other people would do it, try to fit a movie in there if they could. But no, I mean, I would also... you know, that's the time when I'd actually be in school for a while, you know, a couple months there, and which was rare for me.
So. Yeah.
Did they have a teacher on set?
Yeah, it started with just one teacher for the three boys, but as we got more into high school and everything, they split it up. So we each had our own teacher they would rotate, so we'd have, you know, different perspectives. But yeah, it was a really, I mean, I feel really lucky to have the type of education. Just, you know, you have this well-paid teacher that their whole job is to make sure you learn.
Yeah.
It's like personal service.
Yeah. It's great. It was, I was able to really go far when, for a couple years, like in junior high, we did homeschool. So through an accredited homeschool, like but they just allowed the teachers on the set to create their own curriculum and go as far as I could. And that was probably the best education I had. You know, after I went to high school, I was in a local school here. Mm-hmm. And so the set teachers had to follow their curriculum and kind of go at the pace of the class, which, you know, kind of kind of sad. But
yeah. But that's okay. Did you feel that you missed out on the socialization in school? Because, you know, it's a big part of school is to be able to be around kids and learn how to behave around them. But because you were like in an adult environment pretty much from an early on.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, basically, there was only, unless we had a guest star, there would only be the two other boys.
Right.
And later on in the run, a couple other TV shows were being filmed on the same lot, Boy Meets World and American Girl and a few other ones that, so there would be some other kids. But, one thing, my parents always tried to make sure I had other activities with kids outside of Home Improvement and outside of school. And the other thing you end up doing is all the other working child actors, you end up meeting all around, like, you know, when you're doing events like charity work and personal appearances and various different awards and things like that, you're always meeting the same kids. So you kind of... And they, you know, they understand you. They are doing something similar. So
that's
you end up
true.
Kind of close with a lot of those, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely had a different, you know, education. And it was, you know, sometimes definitely challenging, especially in high school, to, you know, be gone for a while and just come back for, like, 1 week out of the month. you don't know who's dating who and who's this and that. You know, I learned to be very cautious and just not, you know, not talk trash about anybody because you just you never knew.
I know, you never know. So in a few minutes, your mom is going to call in. And so is she involved with your career as well?
Well, she definitely was.
I mean, obviously, when you were younger.
Yeah, I've stopped working after the show. I moved on to do other things. I went to college for a while and then these days, I really love to work with my hands and actually build stuff.
Really?
For the most part, yeah.
What kind of things do you build?
All kinds of stuff. Been working off and on as an installation artist. So, like at festivals like Coachella and various things like that, Lightning in a Bottle. Built large scale art that people can go inside or, you know, walk around, not something that would fit in a gallery.
Right.
Got to tour Europe doing four different festivals around Europe one summer. And the other thing I've been working at is in disaster relief. I've been working for an organization called Communitaire, and it started in Haiti and after the earthquake there. And the whole idea is to build a resource center, especially around a makerspace, which is like, if you don't know the term, it's imagine a gym where you have a membership, and instead of workout machines, it's tools. So things you can, everything from hammers to 3D printers and laser cutters. So after Haiti, there's still the facility we set up is still there, but and running mostly almost entirely by the locals. But where I mainly worked was in the Philippines. Almost all of last year was setting up a similar facility in Tacloban, which was the city most hit by Hurricane Yolanda, or sorry, Typhoon Yolanda.
Right.
And it was the largest typhoon to ever make landfall and had basically like a 21-foot storm surge. Imagine two stories of water just submerging a city.
Jeez.
So we were helping there with the rebuild, and you know, we create a space that you know, anyone can come and use and learn how to use power tools and the more complex tools. But just, you know, if they just need a shovel or a hammer, they can rent that. They can bring it out and help to rebuild their own space. Instead of, you know, a lot of NGOs and charities, they, you know, they bring in volunteers and they build new houses and new things. And, you know, it's great, but it's not theirs. It's not the community's, you know. So that's one of our models, creating a space that allows for the community to not only rebuild, but to grow and you know, develop in their own direction.
Yeah.
Are you guys doing anything with Nepal?
Yeah. We have a person there who's helping to – we've been raising money and helping to do what's needed right away. But there are some longer-term plans in the next, like, 6 to 8 weeks to deploy there and set up a space. Yeah, of course, it's very tragic what's going on.
I know. But, you know, I mean, yeah, it's just devastating what happened there. I can't believe it. You know, they're still pulling people out of the rubble, bodies. You know, they found someone who was alive for, like, still till yesterday or the day before when they found him.
Amazing.
Yeah, I know. There's always stories like that, which is, I mean, they found a baby alive. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, they found a baby that was alive in the rubble.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing that a baby can survive that.
I know. That's why,
like,
I'm
you see them as such fragile things. I mean, granted, you shouldn't drop them, but like that they can survive in rubble.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, I truly think that people have a certain predetermined destiny. Not everything. But I think as far as like how long you're going to live and stuff, I think there's something there. You know, I don't think it's just like, because, I mean, there's things you can't explain.
Like a baby living, but other people, like...
Yeah, dying, you know. So I don't know what that means, but it's definitely a miracle baby, that's for sure. I was reading that Israel was sending doctors and help there, relief. But, I mean, Israel always does. But this time, I think the idea was there's surrogate mothers there in Nepal who are carrying some babies for Israeli parents.
Oh.
For same-sex parents.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, because in Israel, they don't let gay couples use surrogate mothers. It's not that it's illegal to have a baby. Obviously, you can, but not to use a surrogate mother.
Why?
I don't know, because they're backwards just like we are here with gay people.
Oh, so, okay, so people that are homosexual cannot have a surrogate, but right. other people can have a surrogate.
Yes,
okay.
In Israel, gotcha. Yes. Which is pretty pathetic, but at any rate, so people go to Nepal to do that, and so they went and risked. So they're saying they brought the babies back, but they didn't bring the mothers with them. So, but the question is, do you really have to bring the mother? I mean, the contract is done once you pick up the baby, right?
Yeah.
With surrogates.
Right.
You know, you get your money, you give the baby, and that's it. So, I don't know. They're not in charge of caring for the baby, but maybe in the beginning they are, right?
I have no idea.
The first couple of weeks or so. I don't know. Anyway. So, yeah, so there's a lot of stuff going on there. So you traveling to the Philippines, actually?
Yeah, I was there for, like, the whole second half of last year.
Okay.
And, building out the space. My technical job title was makerspace maker. So
really?
Because I was, you know, setting up the shop, running power to it, and creating, you know, creating the whole facility. We were able to get a 40-foot cargo container full of tools donated from Australia. There was one, a guy that we worked with that was there, used to be kind of a big executive at Facebook. He used all his ties in Australia to, you know, get all these great tools donated. So
yeah,
it was like Christmas in July when that thing came. It was so
really?
Fun.
But.
That's amazing.
Yeah, very cool. So for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Taryn Noah Smith, a child actor. And the reason you're here really is your new book, right? You have a book that came out. Well, actually, it's your mom's book?
Yeah, it's okay. My mom's book. She wrote it. I wrote some comments in there to kind of, you know, round out the story in a little bit. But it's called Stardom Happens, Nurturing Your Child in the Entertainment Industry. And it's what she wanted to do was kind of help relay her experience and what we learned over the years as, you know, for other parents that are trying to get their child or working with their child in the entertainment industry. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, you just don't know when you start out. You're really naive. And, you know, this is her way of trying to help those other parents and those other kids especially.
Yeah, and help prevent them from falling for all kinds of scams and stuff, because this town is full of them, right?
Yeah, there's lots and lots of scams for directed just at that. You know, people from other parts of the country or the world bringing their kids here, and they think that, you know, that they see some ad or something that you know, promises them they're going to get, you know, auditions in front of producers, but they just have to pay this amount and this,
right.
And it's totally wrong, you know.
Right, and people need to know that, you know, because it happens all the time. I mean, new people move here every day, like you said, with their kids, you know, trying to make them, you know, to get them to work and stuff, but then the, you know, they don't know how things are working here, you know, and they're rarely business people. So, yeah, I can see that. So that's cool. The book is Stardom Happens. When has it been published yet? Is it out already?
Yep, it's in Barnes & Noble and Amazon and lots of bookstores around. It just came out. The release date was April 14th.
Oh, okay. So a couple weeks ago,
yep.
3 weeks ago. So you contributed to the book as well?
Yeah, each chapter. So I've written a few comments throughout the thing, and you can see like my words are in bold and but, you know, just to kind of give my own personal experience of certain things that she's talking about.
Which right.
Help round it out. But it's mostly her book, you know. I mean, it's primarily a how-to. It has certain, you know, stories throughout the years of home improvement that kind of demonstrate what she's talking about. But,
yeah.
You know, it's mostly for you know, just to learn, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, cool. Well, we'll ask her about it. She's going to call in a couple of minutes. Oh, there she is. She's calling right now. So let's go ahead and take that. Good morning. You're on the air. Is this Candy?
Yes, this is Candy.
Hi, Candy. How are you?
Okay.
Well, we have Noah here, your son, in the studio. We're hearing noise in the background. Are you hearing anything? Okay.
I was. I just turned it off.
Oh, okay. Good. I thought maybe there was an echo on my voice. Candy, where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm calling from San Rafael in Marin County. We live on a sailboat, so I'm on my sailboat.
Oh, so Noah was telling us about the boat. So you still live on the boat. I'm sorry. Well, Noah is your name as well, right?
Actually, no. They live on their own boat. And okay. I have my own. I have a different boat in a different part of Marin.
I see. Okay, so it's in your blood, those boats.
It sure is.
Wow. Candy, have you always lived on boats? I mean, obviously, at least since Noah was born, right?
I'm sorry?
I said, how long have you been living on boats?
Oh, well, basically, since I met my husband about 40 years ago, we've been living on boats and off boats most all the time. This boat we've lived on for 14 years. Wow. But we had a power boat and different sailboats. So we did live in a house for a while, but most of the time we've been on boats.
Right. Now, I'm curious about that. How does one decide to do that? Because it's very unusual. Not many people do that, although some do. How do you decide to do something like that?
Well, when we met, we were very young, and we both enjoyed sailing, and just decided that we would sail out the Golden Gate Bridge and down to Half Moon Bay, and we anchored out, and then we just ended up liking it and just sort of stayed on the boat. So, you know, it's just it's a great lifestyle. Right now, living in Marin, it's pretty expensive, so it's a nice way to, you know, curb the expenses a bit, not having a house, just having the boat. But it's a great lifestyle. And when our kids got older, you know, we decided we'd just go back to our roots and, you know, go back to living in a smaller space and enjoying the freedom of being able to untie the lines and take the house and go out in the bay. And we took this boat actually all the way up to the top of Vancouver Island and sailed all through the Canadian Islands and the San Juan Islands with this boat. But it's just great to be able to just take off when you want to and take your whole house with you.
That sounds great. Now, you said this is a sailboat, so don't you need a crew of a few people to...
No, this is a 49-foot sailboat, and actually my husband can sail it by himself, which is really amazing.
Yes.
When we took it up north, we would do three-hour watches, so one of us would be on for 3 hours and the other one would be sleeping, and we just did that. It was just the two of us, and we did that all the way up to the top of Vancouver Island. So it's you know, when you have it set up right, it's really not too difficult to sail it with just a few, you know, one or two people.
Right. What a great adventure. I wouldn't mind going at all, you know. I mean, it sounds so much fun.
It is.
So we're talking to Candy Benisi, who is the mother of Taryn Noah Smith, a child actor. And then you wrote a book about child actors and how to get along and understand the business of entertainment.
Yes. You already mentioned the title, but it was called Stardom Happens, and we just pretty decided that it would be really good for people to be able to come into this business a little bit more prepared, because when we came in, we were so naive. We didn't know anything, and that's the way most people come into it, and it makes it so much more pleasant for everyone if you go in prepared and knowing what your child's going to be facing and what you're going to be facing, because it's a lot of fun. You know, it's entertainment, but it is also a business, and sometimes you can be, you know, really kind of floored by some of the things that happen. So you really need to come in prepared. So this book kind of explains first how to get into the business. The very first thing you need to know is this the right business for your child? Is your child right for this? Because even if they have a lot of talent, do they have the right personality? You know, are they outgoing? Can they memorize lines? Do they know how to wait patiently? Can they handle rejection? You know, do they have a positive attitude of themselves? Can they take criticism? I have a wonderfully adorable grandson, but he's so sensitive. All the agents want him, but he's so sensitive that if the director said, no, don't do it this way, he would burst into tears.
Yeah.
So he's just not the right personality, not the right person for this business. You've got to be pretty tough and, you know, not get jealous when some other child gets a part. And, that's in the beginning, that's kind of where I start was, you know, be sure that your child is right for this. And then we talk about, you know, how to gain experience where you live and then how to find an agent and how to deal with auditions and keep your child happy, and you know, don't over rehearse, and how to wait patiently, and how to handle the stress of an audition, and then once they get a job, you know, what to expect on the set, and how to deal with the education and the child labor laws, and then if they do become a star, which it does happen, how do they deal with all the different things that are involved, you know, dealing with actors and producers and public appearances and charities and, of course, fans. And then there are, you know, sharks. There are people that prey on these children, and you have to be able to be aware of it and know what to do and keep your child away from them. And also the financial problems, you know, how do you deal with the finances of the family and keeping your family together? So there's just so many things that are involved, and it's really nice to have the preparation ahead of time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think many people would want to avoid a lot of those pitfalls that are involved with this, because obviously many people would like to get their kids into the industry, but not everybody has what it takes, like you said. So, you know, maybe,
right.
Yeah, so maybe their character or temperament or whatever, personality is not quite right to be in this business. And I think it's so important to know that, because once it's too late, it's too late. You know, once...
And you see a lot of parents pushing their child in because they want the glory and the fame and all of that, and the child isn't liking it, and, oh, it's just... I used to call them the pot of gold parents, you know, the parents that are just thinking about with the money,
yeah.
And they're shoving the poor kid who's not into it at all, and it's really sad, and we saw a lot of that, you know, in all the years we were doing it, and it was heartbreaking. And with my kids, both of them really enjoyed it. My daughter really enjoyed modeling. She didn't want to speak. She was like... She just enjoyed the modeling. And Taryn was the opposite. He really liked the acting, but he didn't really enjoy standing still and, you know, for the print modeling.
Yeah.
But which was nice, because they weren't, you know, in any kind of competition. They were both in two different worlds of the whole thing. My daughter went and to Japan, and she was an international model. And then at 16, they wanted her to stay longer because she was doing so well. And she said, "Are you kidding? I have to go back to school. I have to take my SAT test. I have to apply for colleges." She really had a head on her shoulders and just said, "Nope, that's enough. I want to go to UC Berkeley, and I've got to be prepared, and see you later." So,
very cool.
And then... you know, and then Taryn, you know, about the same age, said, "Okay, well, I've done this for 8 years now, and I think I want to go do something else." And
yeah.
Both of them had a head on their shoulders in that respect.
Yeah, which is amazing, Taryn, you know, because some people would probably just want to capitalize on that success early on and continue. But you had a lot of other things that you wanted to actually do with your life.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things when that's all you know, you afterward, you want to learn more and do different things. So, and it comes down to, I really kind of just enjoy having something physical at the end of the day to show for my work. You know,
right.
Which you do sort of with the entertainment industry, but it's kind of removed. You know, you're not, yeah. You know, if you're able to perform in front of an audience, it's really fun. But most of the time, most of your... how people experience your work is in the privacy of their own homes, and you don't get to have that kind of feedback. So
that's right. Unlike theater, where you get immediate feedback.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Did you ever have any attraction to theater at all, being an actor and everything?
Somewhat. Never really did it, other than we did some... well, one of my favorite acting experiences actually was I would, for a couple years in the middle of the show, I was taking an improv acting class. With a bunch of other kind of teenage kids, and we would go like 5 weeks, and it was all about kind of character building, but with improv. And one session, the instructor had worked as a social worker before, and in some sort of, I forget, some kind of home where, you know, children that are disturbed and mentally challenged in various ways would be in a home. So what we did was, over the course of the first 4 weeks, we developed a character that would be in one of those homes. And then on the fifth week, we went out into like a local restaurant diner as if we were in a field trip from a local care home, and with a the instructor and one other girl that came to act as if they were the chaperones. And, you know, just the whole thing is you never break character. You have to, and stay in the, the guy was great though. As they're setting the table, he just, no knives or forks, please. Just spoons.
But, so, Candy, I wanted to ask you, what was your motivation for, getting your son into the entertainment industry?
Well, as Sharon pointed out, the fact of how he got in was pretty much sort of by accident. We were just in my daughter's agency, and they said, do you want him to work? And I said, you have work for babies? And they said, yeah, we do occasionally, and we don't take in babies, but we'll use brothers and sisters of the ones we already have. So I said, okay, and they filled out a card, and 2 weeks later he was on the cover of Baby News at 6 months old. So as far as my daughter, she was about five, and she was very she was very beautiful, but she's also just loved clothes. She loved putting clothes on and off and on and off, and so several of my friends said, oh, you know, she's really cute, you ought to take her in the city, she could be a model. So we just you know, on kind of on their encouragement, we took a picture and went into the agency, and they snapped her up immediately and said, oh, yeah, she's a perfect size. Of course, I didn't know that there was a perfect size, it turns out. So, you know, we didn't know anything. And they took her, I got into the elevator, and when there was another woman and her daughter, and we started down the elevator, and that woman told me so much in that elevator ride and walked to my car. She told me, she just unloaded everything about which agents were good, which ones are bad, and don't do this, do this, take this, be sure you take the photos, this is where you go. I mean, she just gave me so much information. So part of it, writing the book, I felt like I wanted to do the same. I never saw her again, but she was so wonderful to give me all that information, and I thought, you know, I'm going to see if I can do that for other parents and see if we can help people go in there knowing what to be prepared for and what to expect. But so that's basically how we got started. And then, you know, the kids just did maybe four or five jobs a year most, and I just put the money in the piggy bank, and they would go out, and, you know, we always made a event out of every audition, and every time we went into the city, where we were by San Francisco, because that's one of the things I mentioned to parents with auditions is make an event. Go to the park. We would go to Golden Gate Park or F.A.R. Schwartz or the zoo or something, and then the audition is just sort of a little side thing. You go do that and come back, because the real thing is the event. So we would just put the money in the piggy banks, and, you know, and they would buy a toy or something. But then when Taryn got a commercial that got him the SAG card, that kind of bumped it into a different level. And then somewhere along that line, I was a teacher, and I decided I wanted to do something different, and I became a script supervisor working on the set. And I was working at that time down in L.A. on a Roger Corman movie, and my son... Karen came in with my husband, and the director said, oh my gosh, he's really cute, does he work? And I said, yes. And she said, well, you know, he said, you've got to go to Judy Savage, she's the best children's agency, tell her I gave you, give her my name, and tell her, you know, that I sent you. And that just, you know, we went in there, and that just started, you know, because he already had a SAG card, like Judy says, bloom where you're planted. He had already bloomed where he planted, was planted. Mm-hmm. He came walking in there with a SAG card, and she just snapped him up. And we thought, you know, it was such an accident, because we thought he might get a commercial, and, you know, my mother lives in L.A., so we thought, oh, we could come down, and we could do a, you know, one or two-day commercial, wouldn't that be fun? And we never dreamed of a TV series. We didn't know it was pilot season. We didn't know anything. We were just wondering, and the next thing we know, here he is on a, you know, originally 7-year series, which went 8 years. It was a complete accident, but yeah, what a wonderful one, you know?
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you guys must have been so happy at the time, you know, because... you know, I mean, it's everybody's dream. You know, you work hard to get your son into the industry. You want to land a good major role. So that's good. Now, Taryn, did that help you? Well, you didn't really do that much acting after that, right? So it's not like you needed that experience to help you later in life, or did that come in?
I mean, no, not direct experience. I mean, I gained right. a lot of experience from it. And one of the things that you don't think about is that actually – you're constantly traveling and doing, like, you know, people always want celebrities to just come and be someplace or sign autographs or, you know, help promote something good. So you end up, you know, traveling all around. I've been to, like, I'm pretty sure 48 states.
Really?
Yeah, not Maine or Alaska, but I think I've been to every single else. And, you know, you get to, like, when you're there, people just want to, you know, give or do things for you, like, give you good experiences. So, like, you know, just doors are opening. Or, like, for example, I got to fly a blimp, you know.
How cool.
Or, you know, like, give a speech on the White House lawn or, you know, just various these things that are outside of your immediate job on a show. You just get these all these great opportunities to learn. And so, you know, it's a... I definitely feel like I've been prepared for new things that I want to do in my life. But sure, I mean, if I'd wanted to, I probably could have tried to kept going with that. But most child actors don't make that transition into adult acting. That's kind of rare.
That's true.
Actually.
Yeah, that's true.
There's the Jodie Fosters out there, but it's pretty rare.
Right. And then there's a lot of them that grow up and start acting out, right? Or get into drugs and things like that. You know, you know, they do crazy things sometimes, but not all of them, I'm just saying. But I think it's because, and correct me on this, Candy, but, you know, it's like they're thrust into the limelight early on. Do you think that at a certain point they crave this when they don't have it anymore, Candy?
Yes, I think that can be it. But I think what the real problem is that there are people that prey on these kids, and... they know, there are adults, that people that know that these kids are vulnerable, that they're naive. I told my parents, my mom, I said, you know, I'm worried about Taryn, he's not streetwise. And she said, honey, he's not even playground-wise. These kids are, you know, they're taught on the set, they're not exposed to other kids, they're not exposed to other people, really, except wonderful people on the set who love them. Oftentimes they come out very naive and very vulnerable, and the money that they... you know, collect goes, you know, as they're working, the money, well, when we were working, it was 25% of the gross goes into a trust fund. Now it's 15% of all, because they used to not do commercials and small jobs, but now it's 15% of everything goes into a trust fund, and that trust fund comes to at 18. And there are sharks, there are people who know that that money is there, and they will prey on these kids. And we when the law was originally written, it was, the money came due at the age of maturity, the Coogan Law, and that age of maturity was 21. So the sharks would kind of start circling at 19. Well, now the money comes due at 18. So here come the sharks at 16. And 16 is such a vulnerable age. Yes. It's, you know, I want to be different. I don't like my parents. I want to be different from them. I want to, you know, go off on my own. You don't know anything. I mean, you know, teenagers.
Yes.
So these people prey on that, and they can just control these kids so easily. And that's, I think, where an awful lot of the problems stem, is from having that large trust fund available at such an early age. And you see so many of the kids just are led astray at that point of their life. And you know, it's just something that we really wanted to be sure we mentioned in the book, that, you know, be really aware of who is befriending your child, and particularly now with the internet, it's unbelievable the things that can happen. So you have to always be vigilant and find out, you know, if anybody new comes into their life, and just really, I mean, do background checks. I mean, it's important.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're almost out of time, Candy. Everybody go get the book by Candy Benici. The book is Stardom Happens. You can find out more information about it at stardomhappens.com. There's information on the book and everything else you'd like to know about Noah and Candy. Well, Candy, congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
Of course, we're honored because I think it's a very relevant thing, especially here in Hollywood. And you have some important lessons to teach people, and that's a great thing, you know. So we thank you for that, and much success, continued success with the book.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Of course. You want to say bye to Mom, Tim?
Hi, and bye, Mom. Sure. Love you.
Talk to you later.
Yeah. Okay, bye, Candy. Yeah. So to summarize everything, Taryn, we know that you are on Home Improvement for 7-8 years, and then you decided to do other things. So you're involved in charities and things like that. How are you making a living now?
Well, I actually still get paid a little bit from Home Improvement when they're still airing it.
Yeah, I bet you are, yeah.
But I work, you get paid to make art at big festivals. And,
yeah.
When you're doing disaster relief, you're volunteering, but your needs are taken care of.
So. Right.
And since I live on a boat, I don't really have any real expenses.
Yeah, none of that requires.
Lucky you.
Yeah. Yeah. I anchor my boat out in Sausalito. It's one of the few places in the country where you can do this, but there's about 200 to 300 boats you're not connected to a dock. You have to use your own small boat to get out there. But I have one of the most amazing views of all of San Francisco. The houses behind me that have the same view are 10 million plus.
Wow.
And I pay nothing
other than
just there a little bit go. Of gas to get back and forth.
Yeah. So. Amazing. Well, Taryn, thank you so much for joining us. Taryn Noah Smith, everybody go out, check out the website, stardomhappens.com. You'll find out everything. I mean, you're handsome now, but you're a very cute boy. I can see why they would take you for the show.
Oh, thank you.
Of course. And much continued success to you as well.
Thanks to you too. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for coming. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
As always, and we'll see everybody tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.